All right, welcome back to the Deep Jive. Today we're going deep, as the name suggests, into a pretty pivotal case in Delaware corporate law. Gauntler v. Stevens.
Yes.
From 2009.
Right, big one.
So this case, it's kind of a cornerstone for understanding like the duties and responsibilities within corporations. Especially when we talk about those who are in charge.
It really is. It's especially important for, I think, you know, understanding how shareholder votes actually work, you know, and when they matter and when they maybe don't.
Exactly. So, you know, instead of you having to dig through tons of legal documents and opinions, we're going to distill this down to the key insights, the need to know stuff from Gauntler.
Yeah, exactly. Think of it as a crash course.
A crash course, yeah. So our mission today is really to show you how this case shaped our understanding of what corporate officers are actually responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
And also where we draw those lines when a shareholder vote says yes, but maybe it shouldn't have, or maybe it doesn't actually protect the board if things weren't done you know, the right way.
Right, right. It's all about that idea of transparency.
Transparency, yeah.
Making sure everyone's got all the information they need to make good decisions.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to focus on kind of two major takeaways from Gauntler. First, the idea that corporate officers, they have the same legal duties as the company's board of directors. You know, there's this concept of fiduciary duties, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. And second, we're going to explore those situations where, like I said, a shareholder vote, you know, maybe it doesn't actually give the board a free pass, you know, especially if some information was withheld or maybe even misleading.
Right. Yeah. Those are really the two key pieces of Gauntler.
Yeah. So let's start with that first big idea, right? Mm-hmm. The equal legal duties of officers and directors. Before this Gauntler case came along, like, what was the general understanding in the legal world? Did people think officers had the same level of responsibility?
That's a good question. And it was definitely a point of debate, you know, before 2009, before Gauntler. There was this argument that, well, officers, they're kind of like the day-to-day people.
Yeah.
They're running the operations. So maybe, you know, their responsibility is a little bit narrower,
right,
than the board of directors who are, you know, setting the big picture strategy.
Yeah.
So Gauntler really kind of it blew that out of the water.
Yeah, they really drew a line in the sand there.
Yeah. And the key thing is that before Gauntler, there was often this argument, well, the officers, they're just following orders. They're just doing what the board told them to do. But Gauntler came along and said, no, officers, you have an independent duty to do what's right for the company, to act ethically and really put the company's interests first.
So it wasn't enough to say, well, the board told me to do it.
Exactly, exactly.
You still have that obligation.
You have your own skin in the game.
You have your own skin in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift, I think, in terms of accountability.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just holding the board accountable, it's holding management accountable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, been one of the most lasting impacts of Gauntler. It's really raised the bar for everyone in a leadership position in a company.
So the court basically said in this case, look, it doesn't matter if you have the title of officer or director. You have these core legal duties.
Yeah, they said it very clearly. The duties of loyalty and care, they apply to everybody.
Right.
And, you know, loyalty, as you mentioned, is all about putting the company's interests first, ahead of your own personal interests. And care is about, you know, making decisions that are informed and responsible. You know, you've done your homework, you've thought things through.
Due diligence,
exactly.
Right. So an officer who is maybe acting in bad faith or putting their own personal gain above the company's, they can be held just as responsible as a director doing the same thing.
Exactly. Equal responsibility. No hiding behind titles.
Yeah, the buck stops, you know, with everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it gets really interesting when we look at what was actually happening in the Gauntler case itself.
Mm.
Can you kind of remind us of the situation that led to this whole clarification?
Sure. So the case involved this bank in Delaware called First Niles Financial.
Okay.
And they were facing some financial headwinds, you know, not doing so great. And the CEO, William Stevens, he was getting ready to retire.
Oh.
And so the board, they started exploring, you know, maybe selling the company.
Right.
They had three potential buyers lined up: Farmers, Cortland, and First Place. But the shareholders who sued, they claimed that Stevens, the CEO, he was actually getting in the way of this whole sale process.
Oh, wow. Okay. So What was he allegedly doing? Like, how's he interfering?
Well, the allegations were pretty serious. For example, they said that Stevens, he didn't even tell the board about some important requests for information from Cortland in first place.
Uh-huh.
These are like due diligence requests. You know, buyers want to look under the hood before they buy the car, right?
Right.
And allegedly, Stevens was hiding this information, preventing the board from really seeing the full picture.
Right.
And, you know, supposedly this led Cortland to just walk away.
Oh, wow.
They pulled their offer and... First place, they lowered their bids significantly.
So the price is going down.
Yeah, the price is going down. And you know, it really paints this picture of Stevens potentially, you know, putting his own interests first. Maybe, you know, he was worried about his retirement package or what he's going to do after he left the company.
Right.
But the shareholders, they would have benefited from a higher sale price.
From a better deal, yeah.
Exactly.
So it sounds like the sale was kind of falling apart.
Yeah, it was not looking good.
And so what did the board do?
Well, they decided to change course.
Okay.
They came up with this new plan to take the company private.
Oh, okay.
Through something called a share reclassification.
Okay, so taking it private, meaning it's no longer publicly traded.
Exactly.
It's like almost like a closed club kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this reclassification, it was a big deal. It legally required a shareholder vote.
Okay.
So they had to get the shareholders to agree to this. And, you know, if everything had been on the up and up, maybe that would have been the end of it. But this is where those equal fiduciary duties, you know, the responsibilities of the officers and directors, and that second big takeaway about shareholder ratification, this is where it all comes together.
Right, because it gets complicated because there were some potential conflicts of interest, right?
Yes, exactly. Several of the board members, they had relationships that raised some red flags.
Right.
Like, for instance, one director, he owned a company that did business with First Niles. And, you know, if the bank got sold to an outside company, well, maybe that relationship wouldn't be so good anymore.
Yeah.
Another director, he was connected to the law firm that was representing First Niles. So, you know, these connections, they're not necessarily illegal.
Right.
But they create this possibility that maybe these directors, they're not acting just for the benefit of all the shareholders. Maybe they're also thinking about their own pockets or their own business deals.
Their own personal interests.
Exactly.
Right. So it's murky.
It's a little bit murky.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where that proxy statement comes in, right?
That's right.
Because that's the document that's supposed to lay out all the information for the shareholders so they can, you know, actually cast an informed vote.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you're buying a house, you want to see the inspection report.
Right.
You want to know if the roof's leaking or there's termites.
Yeah.
Shareholders, they need to know what they're voting on.
Right. Right.
But in Gontler, the shareholders who sued, they claimed that the proxy statement, it downplayed those conflicts of interest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They said that the proxy statement made it sound like the board had really looked at all these options for selling the company when, according to them, they had actually dismissed some offers pretty quickly, maybe because of Stephen's actions, maybe because of their own conflicts.
Wow.
So, you know, imagine you're voting on something, but you're not getting the full story.
Right. You're missing information.
You're missing crucial information.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the big issue here. Can you really say the shareholders approved something if they didn't know what they were approving?
Right.
And that's what the Delaware Supreme Court ultimately said.
Yeah. So initially, the lower court, the Chancery Court, they actually dismissed the case.
Yeah, that's right.
So what was their reasoning there?
Well, they applied this thing called the business judgment rule.
Okay.
And this rule, it basically says, look, we're going to give the board the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
We're going to assume that they acted honestly and, you know, they were reasonably careful.
Okay.
They also pointed to the shareholder vote. You know, the shareholders approved this plan. So they said, well, that's ratification.
Yeah.
Shareholders have spoken.
We've signed off on it.
Case closed.
Yeah. But the Delaware Supreme Court, they said, hold on a second.
Not so fast.
Not so fast.
Yeah.
What led them to reverse that decision?
Well, they focused on those two big issues that we've been talking about.
Okay.
They said, look, the shareholder, they've made some pretty credible allegations here.
Yeah.
They're saying that the officers and the directors, they weren't really putting the shareholders' interests first.
Yeah.
That they might have breached their fiduciary duties.
Right.
And, you know, those allegations about Stephen's self-dealing, the conflicts of interest on the board, those were really central to their decision.
Okay.
And they said, you know, if these allegations are true,
yeah,
then we can't just apply the business judgment rule.
Yeah.
We need to apply a much tougher standard.
Right.
Something called entire fairness review.
Okay, entire fairness review. That sounds pretty serious.
It is.
What does that actually mean?
Well, under entire fairness review, the burden of proof shifts.
Okay.
So now it's not on the shareholders to prove that the board did something wrong. It's on the board to prove that they were completely fair to the shareholders.
Wow.
Both in how they made the decision and in the price or the terms of the deal.
So it's a much higher bar.
It's a much higher bar. They really have to show their work.
They have to show their work, yeah. And the Supreme Court, they also weren't satisfied with that proxy statement, right?
No, they weren't. They said that it might have been materially misleading.
Okay.
Which is a big deal. They pointed to the fact that the proxy statement said the board had carefully deliberated.
Right.
Overselling the company, but the shareholders were saying, no, they didn't. They brushed those offers aside.
Right.
Maybe because of Stevens, maybe because of their own conflicts.
Right.
And the Supreme Court said, look, shareholders, they can't make good decisions if they're not getting accurate information.
Yeah.
And that's a really important point.
Yeah. So even though they voted yes, if they didn't have all the facts, it's not a valid yes.
Exactly. It's like, you know, signing a contract without reading it.
Right, right.
You can't come back later and say, oh, I didn't know what I was agreeing to.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. So this whole idea of shareholder ratification, right, which is, you know, the shareholders voting to approve something.
Right.
It has its limits.
It does. It's not a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
You know, Delaware law, it does say that, you know, sometimes shareholder ratification can protect directors.
Okay.
But Gontler, it really put some strong limits on that.
Okay, so what were some of the specific limits that they highlighted?
Well, they said, first of all, the shareholder vote, it has to be fully informed.
Okay.
We just talked about that. You can't have these misrepresentations or omissions in the proxy statement.
Mm, right.
The shareholders need to know what they're voting on.
Right.
And second, they said ratification, it usually only applies to things the board had the authority to do in the first place.
Okay.
So in Gontler, that reclassification of shares, that required a shareholder vote by law.
The board couldn't just do that on their own.
Right.
So the court said, look, that shareholder vote, it can't be used to ratify any breaches of duty that happened before the vote.
Wow, that's really interesting. So it almost seems like the court was saying, you know, we want to make sure that this shareholder ratification is a real check and balance.
Exactly.
Not just a rubber stamp.
Not just a rubber stamp. It has to be meaningful.
It has to be meaningful, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's kind of sum up the key takeaways from Gontler.
Okay, yeah.
First, it really solidified this idea that corporate officers, they can't shirk their responsibilities.
Right.
You know, they can't say, oh, that's the board's problem.
Right.
They have those same duties of loyalty and care.
Exactly.
And it really emphasized the importance of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, companies have to be truthful with their shareholders.
Yeah.
When they're asking for their votes.
Absolutely.
And finally, it made it clear that shareholder ratification, it's not a blank check.
It's not a free pass.
It's not a free pass, yeah.
Yeah.
Now for our listener, especially if you're a law student who's maybe, you know, interested in corporate law or working with businesses, Gontler versus Stevens, it's a case you definitely want to know.
Yeah, it's a must read.
It's a must read.
Definitely.
Because it really gives you that framework for analyzing these potential issues of, you know, is there misconduct going on in a company?
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at a situation, ask yourself, did the officers and directors, were they really acting in the company's best interest?
Yeah.
Were there any conflicts of interest that might have been influencing their decisions?
Mm-hmm.
And did the shareholders actually have all the information they needed to make a good decision?
Right.
So, you know, think about the independence of the board. Think about the quality of the information that was given to shareholders. Gontler really shows how important all of that is.
It really does. It highlights how these things, the seemingly technical legal concepts, they really matter in the real world.
Yeah. And the court, in this case, I mean, they really made it clear that they take these fiduciary duties seriously.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just, you know, words on paper.
No, there are consequences.
There are consequences. So given all of that, you know, this idea of informed shareholder decisions, mm-hmm. it brings up a really interesting question, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in today's world, right?
Yeah.
We're bombarded with information.
Right.
It's coming from all these different places.
Absolutely.
You know, how do we make sure that shareholders actually have what they need?
Yeah.
You know, the right information, the accurate information,
yeah.
And that it's presented in a way that they can understand.
Right.
So that they can really hold companies accountable.
It's a big question.
It's a huge question, yeah.
It's a challenge that we're all grappling with.
Yeah, and something for, you know, all of us, especially those of you listening who are, you know, future lawyers, future business leaders, it's something to really keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a question that's not going away anytime soon.
It's not going away anytime soon. So that wraps up our deep dive into Gontler v. Stevens. Hopefully this has given you a better understanding of this case.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case.
It's a fascinating case and really important. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
Thanks for having me.